James chapter number 1, and we're going to look at one verse this morning. James is a powerful little book. It's often called the Proverbs of the New Testament. Understand this, church, that the Bible is not an antiquated book, it's an applicable book. And the book of James, especially among the New Testament books, is not a book that belongs with on a dusty bookshelf, but is a book that needs to be lived out with dusty boots. Today we're going to talk about a matter that affects everyone everywhere, and that is wisdom. Wisdom. We all need it, amen? We all need it. But there's very little talk about it. And there's very little teaching about it. But the reality is that every single one of us in here, from the youngest of us to the most mature among us, face problems, face pressures, face possibilities, face temptations, face decisions, face doubts. We could go on and on and on and on and on. We all need wisdom. And so this morning, if you'd allow me, a little bit different, I want to teach a little bit this morning on wisdom, if we could. Let's read verse number 5. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you're taking notes this morning, number 1, I want us to note the clarity of the Scripture. I want us to note the clarity of the Scripture when it comes to wisdom. Because the Bible does much to define this virtue. Wisdom, church, is so much more than knowledge. Wisdom is so much more than intellect. It's so much more than experience, so much more than longevity, than intuition or authority. I've known some really smart people who I've doubted if they could tie their shoes. Wisdom is more than knowledge. I'm going to tell you this. Wisdom is not so much a matter of the mind as it is a matter of morality. Because wisdom gets right down to it. And wisdom is where our beliefs affect our behavior. Isn't that the rub? Isn't that where we tend to drop the ball? But that's where wisdom lies. Wisdom lies where our beliefs affect our behavior. It is that righteous insight that allows right living. The righteous insight applied to right living. And so as we come to this morning, to understand the clarity of the Scripture when it comes to wisdom, the Bible places a high value on wisdom. You look at a couple of passages in the book of Proverbs with me, they'll be on the screen for you. Proverbs chapter 3, and beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says this. Whoso, Proverbs chapter 3, if we could, Don, not chapter 13. We'll turn there in our Bibles as he gets it up there on the screen. The Bible says, No, Don, I think you were right, my friend. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, Don. Everybody's yelling at me now. Stop. It is 3:13, Don. You made me doubt myself. The Bible says, happy is the man that finds the verse that he intended for his notes. Oh, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, note, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. And she is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Look, if you would, at Proverbs 16 and verse number 16. The Bible says this: how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. You know, the Bible places a high premium on wisdom. You think about all of the things that people chase after in this life, whether it is riches or whether it is longevity, whether it is honor and prestige. In chapter 3 of Proverbs, we saw the Bible says that all of the things that you can desire cannot be compared to her. You know, we're prone to chasing fool's gold, aren't we? I've got a number of things in my office that people have given me over the years. I say that like I've lived many, many years. But many of them have some sort of moral lesson or some sort of reminder to them. One of the ones that sits back on the shelf right behind me is this nice little chunk of what I guess they call pyrite. Does that sound right? Commonly called fool's gold. It was given to me by one of our church members to remind me this, that as we go through this life, you know, not everything that looks like gold really is. You know, my kids got a hold of it the other day. They were like, "Dad, you've got gold." I said, "No, guys, it's not. It's something that they call fool's gold. Because it looks like gold, but it's not." "Yeah, Dad, but what if it is?" I mean, like, "Dad, what if you were to, like, bust it open, and even though there was fool's gold on the outside, what if there was, like, real gold on the inside?" And I'm like, "Guys, it doesn't work like that." They're like, "But what if it does?" And I laughed, and I thought to myself, boy, isn't that how we do in life? You know, you run that laundry list there in Proverbs, whether it's rubies or gold or all the things that you can buy from silver and gain and longevity and prosperity and all of those things. And you know, we look at all of the things that this life dangles out in front of us, and we think, "Boy, wouldn't that be nice?" Or, "Boy, wouldn't that be great?" Or, "Boy, if I could only have that." And God looks at us and He says, "Understand this. Let's talk about wisdom. And all of the other things in life that you can desire, they can't even begin to be compared to it." To wisdom. To wisdom. You know, one of the beautiful things about wisdom is that commodity that adds value to everything around it. Proverbs 4 and verse number 7 puts it this way: "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." You know what? There are a lot of people who say, "You know what? If I only had a little more money, things would be way better." But you know, God says, "Let's get a little more wisdom." And you know what happens when you get a little more wisdom? Do you know what you're able to do? Manage a little more money. There are some people who would say, "You know what? If my marriage was just a little bit better, things would be wonderful." You know what God says? God says, "Get wisdom." Because if you get wisdom, do you know what else you get? You can get a better marriage. You get wisdom, you can be a better parent. You get wisdom, you can be a better employee. You get wisdom, you can be a better minister. You get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. It is the one commodity that adds value to everything else around it. I want us to see the clarity of the scripture, of this thing called wisdom. that allows our beliefs to be lived out in our behavior, that righteous insight that is applied to right living. Go back to the book of James with me. Because if Scripture teaches us that wisdom is really this important, Scripture teaches us that wisdom is really this valuable, well, then boy, it makes sense that you and I put some effort into figuring out how is it that we obtain it. I want you to look what the Bible says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. We've seen the clarity of the Scripture. Can I show you now the character of the Savior? The character of the Savior. It's so simple. Because when the Bible here begins to talk about God and our relationship with God and how we interact with God here, the Bible is very clear that God acts towards us in what I would call perceptive abundance. That means simply this, that God knows where you are and that God knows what you need. Amen? That God always is and God always has been enough. That he knows, he's near, and he's enough. Boy, I think right there, if we could get that, if we could just get that right there, that he knows, he's near, and he's enough, it'd solve a lot of our day-to-day problems. But the Bible here says that God gives to all men liberally. Understanding that word right there, it means that when it comes to God and how he imparts wisdom to his children, it means that he gives it to us openly and sincerely. In other words, can I put it this way? That God desires for you to have wisdom more than you do. You know, so often sometimes we view these things of wisdom and we view these things of the things of God and the will of God as some dark and mysterious thing that we have to kind of grope our way through life and hopefully we find it and hopefully we don't fall off a ledge somewhere. And sometimes we got this picture, I know I did, especially as a teenager, that the will of God, it was like the scavenger hunt of greatest consequence in all the universe. And that if I was just smart enough and ran fast enough and looked hard enough and wanted it bad enough that I could maybe dust off some clue somewhere that would point me to the map on the back of the Declaration of Independence that would point me to the will of God for my life. But that's not how this works at all. It says that God gives to all men liberally. That God gives openly. That God gives sincerely. That God desires for you to have the wisdom that you need to live this life. God desires for you to have the wisdom that you need. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says this, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. This here is Solomon addressing his son, but really it is a picture of also God the Father addressing us, his children, as he asks us to attend our ears to the wisdom that he desires to give us. God desires for us to have the wisdom that we need. It is a perceptive abundance that plays out in a patient affection. Because the Bible says that he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do you know who the all includes in all men? Let's make it personal. I'm going to take this a different route this morning. You thought you knew where I was going, but you didn't. Do you know who the all includes here in James 1:5? Make it personal this morning. It includes me. It includes me. You say, but I'm only 12 years old. It includes you. You say, but I didn't go to college. It includes you. I didn't finish high school. It includes you. You say, I've made some pretty big mistakes in my life. It includes you. It includes you. All means you. And the Bible says here that he upbraids not. To upbraid means to demean or to reproach. You know, God is not the ill-mannered or demeaning teacher. God is not the impatient parent. I've been guilty of that. You need help with what again? Didn't I already tell you this 13,000 times? But that's not our God. You see, the problem is sometimes, but you know what? We've all had those teachers. We've had some teachers who make us feel like there are no dumb questions. We've had teachers who made us feel like there's nothing but dumb questions. We've all faced instances where people have been impatient with us. But that's not our God. You know what James chapter 1 and verse number 5 is teaching us here? That for my needs when it comes to wisdom, that as I need wisdom, that I can go to God. That as you need wisdom, you can go to God. And you can go to God today for wisdom. And you can go to God tomorrow for wisdom. And you can go to God the next day for wisdom. Over and over and over and over again. And every single time, He's going to meet you openly. He's going to meet you sincerely. He's not going to beat you down. He's not going to make you feel bad or try to run you off. It is a picture of love. Because you know, it's only right for a child to ask wisdom of his father. You know, we've got to get back to the conclusion that God is who He says He is. And that God can do what He says He can do. Because if He can't, every one of us are just absolutely wasting our time. But He can. And the truth that has got to grip our hearts this morning is that He not only can, but that He wants to. You know, this morning in every one of our lives, there are things and there are areas where we know we desperately need the help of God. He not only can, He wants to. There are areas in our lives where we desperately want the forgiveness of God, where we desperately want the freedom of God to be set free. You know what the reality is this morning? That He not only can, He wants to. There are areas in our lives where we know that we need wisdom to be able to take the right steps to go in the right direction. Hey, church this morning, believer this morning, He not only can, He wants to. With patient affection. And you know, if you've ever been a parent, grandparent, coach, a teacher, anybody who has the responsibility to kind of help and direct others, I'll tell you, there are few things more heartbreaking than to want to help but be shut out. Do you see the character of the Savior this morning? Hey, I'm going to tell you, the clarity of the Scripture is simply this, that the wisdom is the principal thing. That all the things that you can desire cannot be compared to her. So get wisdom. Get wisdom. That's the clarity of the Scripture. But then we see the character of the Savior. that for those who come, the Bible says that God is patiently and lovingly and liberally ready to give wisdom to everyone who needs it in every area of life they need it. He knows, He's near, He's enough. He not only can, He wants to. But, as good as all of that sounds, the reality is we still struggle to experience that on a regular basis, don't we? We do. Notice with me finally this morning, I want you to see the challenge of these situations. You go back to the beginning of verse 5, and I think you find where our challenge lies. The Bible simply says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, the challenge of these situations, first of all, is for you and I to make an honest recognition. You know what? We know what we need. And we know where we get it from. So the question then becomes, why don't we have it? Why doesn't the average Christian walk in wisdom? Why doesn't the average Christian have the wisdom that they need? And I'll tell you this. I believe with all my heart, it's because largely we have no idea how badly we need it. We have no idea how badly we need it. Proverbs 11 and verse number 2 puts it this way: when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. With the humble is wisdom. Why is that? Why is that correlation made? Because the humble person, the lowly person, recognizes just how much he needs help. You know, when James says, if any of you lack wisdom, do you know what James is not saying? James is not saying, now I recognize that the vast majority of you are able to take care of all matters on your own at all times. James is not saying, look, no offense, I recognize you got this, but for Evan the intern, he might need this, so we'll say it anyway. James is not trying to say that you got this. James is trying to politely point out that none of us got this. None of us have this life figured out. None of us have the wisdom that we need of our own. And you know, it's not, church, that we need God's wisdom from time to time. But it's that honest recognition that we desperately need God's wisdom all of the time. And I think what we have to honestly recognize this morning is that the vast majority of us don't live with any practical recognition of our need. Let me ask you this. Where this week did you actively, consciously recognize, God, I need your wisdom in blank? Most of us, it's a pretty short or empty list. How many of us made decisions this week? Let me see hands. Husbands, you can raise your hands, okay? How many of us made potentially important decisions this week? How many of us recognized in that moment how desperately we needed God's wisdom for our marriage, for our parenting, for our finances, for that purchase, in that friendship, in that office situation. How many of us stopped and recognized that in that moment we needed God's wisdom before we replied to that text message, before we posted online? That we desperately needed God's wisdom. You back it out enough, let me ask you, is there a decision in this life where we don't need God's wisdom? And I'm going to tell you, the challenge of these situations that we face is this, is that so often we run through this life without any sort of practical recognition that I need the wisdom of God. And that's a problem, because wisdom is not philosophical. It's not just something that floats around in our brains and in the sweet by and by. Wisdom is practical. In fact, when we look at wisdom in Scripture, so often it's personified. Because if it doesn't have dusty boots on, it probably isn't wisdom. If it's not being lived, it's probably not wisdom. And the challenge is living in such a way where I honestly recognize the deep and abiding need in my heart and life for the wisdom of God. I'm going to tell you, our young people, our teenagers, there is no greater commodity that you could garner to yourself than the wisdom of God. And to do it right now. To do it right now. For our moms and dads, our grandparents, our saints all over, there is no greater commodity. But it only comes when we recognize how desperately in need we are of it. An honest recognition. And a humble reverence. You know, it's so simple. He says, if any man lack wisdom, what? Verse number 5, say it with me. Let him ask of God. It's so simple. When you recognize it, request it. When you recognize it, request it. The word ask here is used of an inferior asking something of a superior. In other words, that we come recognizing that God has what we don't. That God is the authority and that we are the ones in need. That we come, you could even put it this way, in reverence or fear, desiring His best for us. I don't think it's any mistake that the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is coming with that recognition that God and God alone has what I really need. Or James puts it this way, you can't ask with a divided heart. You see the next couple of verses of James chapter 1? It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For the double-minded man, a double-souled man, is unstable in all his ways. Now the challenge is this. Every one of us live with a double-minded heart from time to time. You know how I know that? Because I think most of you would agree with this sentiment. I desire to be in good physical condition. But I also desire pizza. I desire a good night's sleep, but I also enjoy Disney Plus. You know, there are things in our hearts and lives that sometimes pull us in different directions. And spiritually, the same is true, is it not? You know, I think you can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You can go all the way back to Eve. And I mean, Eve, she wanted the best, did she not? But she talked herself into a shortcut. She talked herself into a shortcut. You could say this, that Eve lived in paradise. But it wasn't enough. It is an honest recognition that leads us to a humble reverence where we come to the place where we say, Lord, you alone know what's best. Lord, you alone have what is best. And you know what? Your flesh, the devil, and the world, are they going to try to pull you in another direction? Are they going to try to tell you that there is life and there is joy and there is fun and there is fulfillment if you'll just go this way? Oh, of course they will. But I'm going to tell you, the story of Eve has been played out time and time and time again, where God offers us the wisdom that we need to make life abundant. That God offers us the wisdom that we need to live right and righteous before Him. That God offers us the wisdom that we need. But we have to make that decision. That choice. That commitment. That conscious decision that I'm going to ask of God. That I am going to live God's way. Because this is God's world as revealed in God's revelation of Himself. We have to make that decision that we are going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because as Proverbs 21:30 reminds us, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. In other words, every last bit of it is fool's gold. I'll tell you this morning that there is not something or someone else out there that will give you the fullness you crave. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. So I ask the question this morning, does anyone here lack wisdom? Does anyone here struggle between chasing the fool's gold of this world and the true riches in Christ? I'm going to ask you this morning, I wonder, in a crowd this size, those listening by way of Facebook and radio, I have to imagine that there could be one who's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I beg of you this morning to cease from your own wisdom. Because your good works are never going to make you right with God. Coming to church, doing good things, getting baptized, none of those things can make you right with Almighty God. This morning, I would like to invite you to come to know one who loves you so much that since you couldn't come to Him, He came to you. Who loves you so much that since the wages of your sin was death, that He died that you might live. Loves you so much that He invites you to receive Him. Does anyone here need wisdom this morning? Let him ask of God. Does any man lack wisdom this morning? Let him ask of God. Who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Would you stand with me this morning with your head bowed and eyes closed? And as we come to a time where we respond to God's word, this morning, would you allow the Spirit of God to lay an area on your heart where you know you need God's wisdom? You know what? Every one of us could right now in this moment name 15, 20, 30 different areas where we need God's wisdom. This morning, would you allow God to give you just one? And would you put into practice the scriptures you've heard? Would you ask God?